Coming to you live from Central Texas, it's Let's Talk with your host, Eric Jackson. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the great conversation. And now, here's the host of Let's Talk, Eric Jackson. Tuesday to you out there. This is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Eric Jackson, and today we have one heck of a conversation planned for you. So I hope you're ready to sit back, enjoy the conversation. Heck, if you want to join in, you can do that too, because we got nothing but 2 hours to go. Now, if you want to join in, you can call in at 347-838-8622. Email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com, or you can join in the chat room. Just go into your local social media site, log in, and join us in the chat room. We can have a great conversation there as well. All right. Now that we have those particulars out of the way, hey, y'all, welcome. And I hope y'all are having a great day. I know I am. Nice and easy. Nice and easy. You know what, though? But we ain't going to prolong this any much longer, because I really want to get into this today. And I'm looking, I know somebody out there is biting at the bit to get some of this conversation. And you know what? I can't wait. All right, y'all. So, today's conversation is, does the Black American community need a makeover? Now, guess what, y'all? Now, you know what? I said something in that statement right there, and I don't think many of y'all paid attention. Only certain ones paid attention to a certain word, community. Now, let me explain something to you. If we actually had a community going right now, we wouldn't need a makeover. I'm just going to tell you like it is. We wouldn't need a makeover. I know y'all don't understand that, but I'm about to break it down to you, okay? Now, number one, majority of us now, you know, back in the day, what we did, we lived in a community. That's right, because everybody was about we and not just me, okay? Now, today's society, we live in neighborhoods. I'm going to tell you why you live in a neighborhood. Because the only thing you do is you come home, go in your house. You get up, you go to work, take the kids wherever they got to go, then you come back and get in the house. I bet half of y'all don't know who live beside you. You've been living there 10, 15 years. You don't know who live beside you. You don't know who live behind you, in front of you. You really don't know, unless your kids got some friends and you don't even know where they live at. So, yeah, we're going to get into this thing today, because we need to get the community feeling back. You know, not the neighborhood feeling. I want to talk about the community feeling. So we're going to get into this thing today. So if you're not ready to talk about it, hey, and you got soft feelings, well, I don't know if you want to join this conversation today, because it's going to get hot up in here, because we're going to talk about some things. Okay? Now, so with that being said, yes, we live in neighborhoods, and it's a shame. It really is. You know, since we have gone to the neighborhood, our whole family system, everything has just gone crazy. That's right. It has gone crazy. You know, we don't have that support we used to have for each other, the respect for each other. Hey, I'm going to tell you how bad it is. You don't even take care of the homes that your parents built and left to you, some of you. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Some of you live in there, and y'all live right there in the same house that you grew up in, and what happened? You don't let that house run down. As long and in the neighborhood, because like I said before, you living in the neighborhood, we no longer live in communities, because we have no idea what community is. Oh yeah, I'm getting ready, y'all. I feel it coming. Now let's talk about this, and I'm gonna tell you what happens. Remember back in the day, when used to the saying used to be, it takes a village to raise a child. Y'all remember that? Well, you know why it took that village? Because it was a community. It was a thing of togetherness. You know, it was we survive. You know, that's our problem today. In our little neighborhoods, we hear too much about me and me and me. That's right. And I know some of you go back home, because some of y'all probably don't live where you grew up at. But if you go back home, just sit there at the corner where the street you grew up, and just look at the street and think about how it was when you were a kid. When you was a child growing up, and look at it today, and I guarantee it would bring tears to your eyes, because you're like, man, I can't believe how my neighborhood is falling. And that's right. You look across the street and say, I remember Miss Jones used to live there. I remember Miss Bridal used to live there. I remember Miss Jones used to live on the side. You know, Keith and Terry used to live down the street. That's right. You can't even, you go, I'm telling you, half of y'all, oh my, y'all don't know who, y'all don't even know who in your own neighborhood. That's why it's not a community, because you don't know. You don't talk to each other. Only thing we have in our neighborhoods now are liquor stores and pawn shops. And you don't think we need a makeover? Heck yeah, we need a makeover. You know, Miss Lewis says the real families where both mom and dad are there are gone. And you're probably right. You are probably right. You know, and that's the other thing. Since we're no longer in communities and we're in neighborhoods, check this out. The family, the foundation of the family is not there anymore. It's not. I don't care what you say and how you try and make it sound right. It's not there. And once the foundation is cracked, then we really in trouble, right? That's right. I'm just going to put it out there. So now we got neighborhoods that's just falling apart. That's right. We're just falling apart. The children, they falling apart. And parents, I don't know, we got parents of kids now. Actually, we got kids raising kids that's calling themselves parents. And the bad part about it, they're supposed to be the mature ones, they're supposed to be grandparents. They too busy trying to act like the damn kids. That's right. We're going to put them on out there like that. And if that's you out there, then maybe you need to open your eyes and let's get this thing turned around. That's right. I remember back in the day, we used to go around the corner to a little grocery store, Mr. Williams grocery store. And guess what? We have everything you want. You ain't worried about that. You could even get stuff on credit back in the day. Now, heck, how many black-owned businesses we got in our neighborhood? Let alone talking about getting anything for credit. Huh? Oh, but I'm coming back to that because I got some stats for y'all on that one too. But, you know, that's what I'm saying. But it's like no one really cares anymore. No one cares about what's going on. Yeah, we talk about it in the comfort of our own homes. Yeah, we talk about it. And we looking at it on news and say, oh, that's a dang on shame. But what do we do about it? Not a dang on thing. Nothing. We don't do anything about it. Now, and this takes me to something else. Now, to get anything done, you have to go through your local officials, right? The people that you supposedly vote for. Now, once again, I may be telling my age, but I'm going to tell you like it used to be back in the day in the community. When your local elected officials, representatives, they had offices in the community. That's right. They had it in the community. They didn't have it 10, 20 miles away. They didn't have it in another part of the state. They had it right there in the community that they serve. But we don't even hold the elected officials to any of that either. So why you think our neighborhoods, we no longer have communities? Why you think we have neighborhoods? Because of things like this. People, we need to get back to the basics. It's just that simple. But we can't get back to basics unless we hold somebody accountable. And who are we going to hold accountable? Who are we going to hold our dang old selves accountable? Because we the ones who let it happen. No, I didn't do that because, no, yes, you did, because you didn't do anything either. Now, that's right. I'm telling it. And that's the way I'm feeling right about now. You know, so how are we going to get our neighborhoods, turn them into communities, and get our makeover done? Huh? How are we going to do that? Because we really, really need to do this. You're right. We really need to. Now, I know what some of y'all thinking. Well, we ain't got no money. Well, you know, it takes money to change things around. Really? It takes money, huh? Now, it's not like the black neighborhood don't have money coming in. Now, let's get that straight. Now, some of y'all may say, yeah. Let me tell you something. Studies show that African Americans spend only 5 cents out of every dollar on black-owned businesses. Now, that's black-owned businesses. But listen to this. $850 billion moving through black consumers' hands each year. And you guess what? 90% of that amount is going to businesses owned and controlled by non-black businesses. Y'all listening to what I'm saying now? 90%. 90%. And guess what? That's not going into the neighborhood. It's not. It's not going into the neighborhood. Look, you get paid, and first thing you want to do, you want to go down to the thing called, y'all? The market, the shop at, you know what I'm talking about, where they go in and do all this other things. The outlet malls, that's what they call the outlet malls. I know I get to it eventually, you know? That's right. And it's crazy. It's crazy because we can do so much better. We are, you know, but we won't. We won't. You know, as Dr. Claude Anderson would say, you know, blacks live in neighborhoods and not communities according, you know, because, you know, basically, like you say, we only live in the neighborhood. We don't spend our money there. We don't put any effort towards straightening it out there. We don't. Heck, half the time, we don't even want our kids to go to school in the neighborhood. That's right. Y'all know I'm telling you like it is. If you disagree, let me know. I'll be glad to say, okay. Okay. You know. But guess what? By 2015 now, it is predicted that this disposable income in the black neighborhood, hopefully it'll be a community by then, will be $1.2 trillion. You hear that? $1.2 trillion. And you mean to tell me only 5 cents of every dollar goes to a black? Is something wrong with that or what? Huh? And you wonder why we don't? Yeah, we need a dang on facelift. Yeah, we sure do. We got our kids running around here now with the pants hanging down on their behinds. Ain't nobody saying nothing to them. We drive by them every day and shake our head. Heck, some of you got kids in your own house doing it. Oh, I'm just making a point, y'all. I'm not trying to start nothing. I'm just making a point. But we don't say anything to them, do we? Heck no, we just shake a hand with them, man. I remember back in the day, we didn't do any of that. That's right. Until we decide to get ourselves together, ain't nothing going to work right. We're not going to ever have a community again. So, now that I got my little spiel out of the way, and of course I had to do that, you know, what's on y'all mind? Y'all tell me what y'all thinking out there, because I really believe we need a makeover. We really do. Now, if that includes yourself, the way you handle your things in your household personally or whatever, then maybe you need to sit back and think about that. Maybe you do need a makeover as well. It's okay. You know, sometimes you have to do self-evaluations and figure out what's going wrong to help you do what's right. You know? And some of us, we just close our eyes to everything that's going on. That's right. We sure do. It's okay, y'all. It's okay. Once again, you're listening to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Eric Jackson. And today's topic is, does the black community need a makeover? And as I was explaining earlier, for those who came in a little late, I think the problem is no one wants to be a leader. You know what, Ms. Lewis? That may actually be a good point. But why should we wait on somebody to try being a leader if you know something needs to be done? Why can't we be, you jump at someone, not specifically you, but why can't somebody just take the lead? If you just get it started. See what I'm saying? If you just get it started, then you'd be surprised at who will come up and help you. So sometimes that's all it takes is for one person to get up there and go for it. I mean, I'm just making a point, that's all. You know, but you're right. You know where most of our leaders go? Most of our leaders, they leave. They leave neighborhood. They really do. And then we just stuck again. All right, let's see. We got a call in on the air. Let me see what's going on here. Good evening. Good afternoon. You're on Let's Talk. What's on your mind?
I'm Ms. Lewis, who's commenting on your station, your show.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, I'll admit I'm 24 years old, so I'm relatively young compared to other people.
Uh-huh.
But like I said, I think the biggest problem is don't nobody want to be a leader. It's so much easier to be in the crowd. Nobody got to be responsible.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
No rapper, no athlete, nobody's responsible no more. Even lo and behold, Jordan was a role model and a figure at one point. Even, you know, even from anybody from Jesse Jackson to Martin Luther King was a leader at one point. We don't have that no more.
Okay. So let me ask this question. I mean, just because we don't have any, is that any a reason just to let things go? How about holding somebody accountable? Like maybe ourselves?
And where that, too?
Yeah. I mean, like I was
but
saying.
It all got to start. I think everything starts from somewhere. I think it was a big breakdown between Martin Luther King time and, let's say, my mom's time period. When the 1990 baby mama, hoochie mama phase came in, that's when everything started to deteriorate.
Now you're going there. You're going somewhere now. But what happened during that time? Why did we end up with the disconnect?
Well, I mean, it's post Ronald Reagan, Reaganomics and crack.
Raymond.
After all of that set in, everything broke down. There was no fathers in the household. You know, mom's on drugs. Mom was struggling to handle and take care of a family. Everything broke down. Now men feel like they don't have to be responsible. Women feel like they don't need men to have to run a household and raise a child. We got We got the food stamps and the government help. They say as long as you don't have a man in your house, we'll take care of you. All of that stuff is a breakdown.
Okay, so basically what you're saying, that's kind of the fall, the beginning of it, right? But
I think that was already started.
It was already started. So here's my question. Okay, if that's the case, then why didn't we fight harder to keep the foundation of the family together? I mean, if we noticed this was going on, why did we allow it to happen?
Or did nobody wanted to stand and be a leader. There was no leader. Let's be real serious. Historically speaking, after Martin Luther King died, who else was there?
Who else was there?
Who else was there? Jesse Jackson fell off. Abernathy, everybody fell off. They didn't have no leader because now they got scared. You were touchable now. Martin Luther King was touched. He was killed. So after that, everyone got scared. Nobody wants to be, no one wants to speak up and be a leader. Black Panther leaders got knocked out left and right. We don't have nobody who want to be a leader because they don't want to assume that responsibility.
Wow. Okay. So if that's the case, then, so how do we correct this? How do we give our I'm going to call it community because I'm going to say how can we give our community a facelift or a makeover to make it right? I mean, I know it's not going to happen overnight.
Everything starts in the household.
Exactly.
Everything starts in the household. To be honest with you, I came from a one-parent household, But I see where I could have became a better person had I had a father in the house. I can admit that. As an individual and as a woman, I can admit that my life probably would have happened differently had there been a man in the house to be my father. Fathers make a big difference now.
Well, I'm not doubting that. I'm not doubting that at all. But see what I'm saying? You say you came from a single parent, right? But did that stop you from accomplishing what you wanted to do?
No.
And why not?
It didn't stop me to accomplish it. Not at all. I mean, things fall on my responsibility for why I didn't go to the college fresh out of high school or anything like that. But I do believe it would have helped.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I didn't go to college straight out of high school, so. but my point is, you know, I hear what you're saying, but the bottom line is, we still are behind everybody else. You know, we're behind everybody. Like, look how much money we have disposable income. You know what disposable mean, right?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Now think about this. Disposable. $1.2 trillion by 2015. And 90% of that is going somewhere else. Somewhere else. And that's not even in our neighborhood. You know what I'm saying? They're not talking about a community. You know, that is something we really need to look at. You know, I understand the foundation, because I'm with you on the foundation. Because nothing happens without the foundation.
I got a question, if you don't mind me asking.
You can ask me. Go ahead.
Most black people don't. Most grocery stores or corner stores or anything around black populated communities, right, are usually not black owned.
Exactly.
Do we agree on that?
Yeah.
So
without a doubt.
The question would come, why are there none there? But most black people don't want to buy from other black people. A lot of times when you see, you can have a guy sell a T-shirt, a black man selling T-shirts on the corner, and you can have an Asian man selling the same exact T-shirt across the street. Everybody go across the street to the Asian man, even though the Asian man charging a dollar more than the black man, only because they figure the black man is either getting over on somebody, he stole it, he's this, he's that. Asian man could have did it the same way just for the fact he Asian, they'll buy from him. Even though in most black communities, most of the ones I go to, me living in Atlanta, I grew up off Martin Luther King, one of the hardest places to live in Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
They'll follow you around the store while you're trying to go and buy a coat.
But we still
like that.
But we
but
still
they won't
going
buy from a black man that's giving them respect.
You know, and that is the craziest thing, isn't it? I mean, and you wonder why. You know, first thing you say, well, you know, the person who owned a business in the black neighborhood, they want too much money. Well, why you think that? Because you're not coming there and doing anything with them. Come on.
They got to make
one.
A difference.
Yeah. You know, and then, you know, in some cases, you know, like you say, most businesses now owned in the black community aren't owned by blacks. And the reason why, because they figured out what it is and how much money is in the black community. So they use that to their advantage. They use that against us. And we're so crazy, we don't even realize it. And like you say, they have a same store across the street. The across the street selling the same thing, but yet we'll go across the street to the Indian guy store and buy them little $12 shoes that we know ain't going to last. You're right.
We don't try to protect our own no more. Black people, we came from a nation where we grew and lived as, like you said, communities, a
right.
real village.
Mm-hmm.
Then we come in here where we was individualized as slaves, and we still carry that mentality now.
Oh, I like that. I like that. I like that. That's what
we
I'm
came
talking
over
about.
Here as families, but they broke us up purposely to make us lose our identity and lose who we were. And we ain't doing nothing but living up to that now. We
exactly.
still have light skin, black skin debates, and we shouldn't be.
You know, it's called divide and conquer. And but you know what, though? Here's the thing about that, y'all. Talking about divide and conquer. Half the time, they're not dividing because we joining them anyway. Calling ourselves.
But it's almost embedded into the DNA.
Yeah.
They had a man write a book, and they had a white man back in slavery time write a book. And it was given out to all slave owners in the South. And the book basically told you how to manufacture a slave, making one slave beat all the rest of them, where it's not so much the slave master being as one of their own, giving one man a position of power and having him abuse the other.
That's right.
With
so you can't blame.
Family.
Yeah. You know, that's
all
the same.
Kind of stuff.
I'm glad you said that because, you know, that's like Frederick Douglass when the slave wife was trying to teach him to read. You know, and she and he told her, don't teach him because educated slaves is no good to me. You know what I mean? So, you know, let's keep him in the dark ages. Long as we keep staying in the dark ages, we all right. You know, but we need people like Fridget that say, screw this. You know, let's get some balls and get things going again. And I know some of y'all say, why he always talking about this? Because we need to talk about this more than one time. You know, we need to get our communities back, not the neighborhoods, the communities right now, y'all. You can walk out, most of you can walk out your door and see a neighborhood. You know, the check cashing stores on the corner, the liquor stores on the corner, the pawn shops. You know, not to mention the condemned houses that used to be full of people back in the day. You know, but what are we doing about it? Nothing. We complain about it. Oh, we do that. We do that quite well. But what else can we do? We need to start holding individuals responsible. Why can't we have our representative that we vote for, you know, that's supposed to have our best interests in mind, live in our communities? Why can't we ask them that? Because they're living on the other side of town in this big old house, so how are they going to represent me in my neighborhood or my community? You see what I'm getting at? You still there?
I do understand you. But here's the question that plagues me the most a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
It's only three. It's usually when other countries invade other countries. The three things they try to either break down and rebuild, most of the time it's breaking down and rebuilding. Usually try to break down and rebuild the communities into what they want them to be, break down the school system, and break down the religion in that particular country, and restart everything into what they want it to be. And really, that's the three biggest problems, really, with the black community. Black people don't pray, go to church like they used to. We used to be a praying people, even in slavery time. We were some real believing people.
Well,
you know,
we
is breaking down left and right, and the community is horrible. When was the last time you ever seen schools even celebrate Black History Month? Now, even black schools. You don't even do none of that anymore.
Oh, no. I mean, and okay, here's my thing on Black History Month, y'all. Black History Month is a good thing. It really is. But why do we have to just wait to a certain month to celebrate Black History? You know, don't you think we should be educating our children every day or about our history? You know, why we have to say, okay, February is Black History Month? Oh, wow. You don't hear them saying we have a Caucasian month, do you? Because they're teaching it every day. So why can't we do the same thing? Now, I'm just putting a point out there. I may be wrong, but I'm just putting a point out there. Oh, Lord. Mm-hmm. They say, I got something going on in the chat room. Says, I think the other problem is that some parents think that what the children are doing, wearing, is the style. Okay. So there's somebody else in the neighborhood that knows it's not, and you need to put them over to the side. And see, that's the other thing. We don't talk to each other. We really don't. It's like we scared to say anything to each other. And that goes back to the neighborhood thing. You know, most of you know, you got neighbors you've been living next to for years. You don't know their name. You don't know nothing about them. But you say, oh, that's my neighbor. How does your neighbor? That's the person that lives next to you. That's not a neighbor. Once again, the fundamental breakdown of the community. You know, you have to. A village knows each other. A village don't mind looking out for each other. A village works with each other. You know what we do when we get that high paying six figure job? Do we stay in the neighborhood? No. What we do? We go into the suburbs. Am I right? And do we bother to look back? No. I'm just making a point. I may be wrong. I may be wrong. What you think, Ms. Lewis? Am I wrong?
No, I agree with you.
You know, and this is what I'm talking about, y'all people. We need to get it back together to where it was the village. And the best way to do it is start in your household. Yeah, you come home from work and you see Billy little bad behind out there doing something wrong, instead of telling Billy to stop, you just shake your head and walk in the house. You know, now then Billy done went and broke up some stuff, and you just shaking your head until you break up your stuff, then you gonna raise sand. Really? Why? Don't raise sand then. I'm just saying. But anyway, yes, y'all. If y'all want to know what my opinion is, yes, we do need a makeover. We do need a change. Very, very much so. We need a change. But how are we going to do that change? You know, who are we going to hold responsible for the change? TV and media raising the kids are an issue too. You're right. But that doesn't have to be an issue. You're the parent. You pay the bills. Hey, it depends on how old your kid is. You buy the stuff you put in their room. So why is that an issue?
Can I make a comment on that one?
Sure.
As far as the media, like I said, the TV and the media raising kids.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, let's be honest.
Please.
Let's be real honest. How often do most parents really know what's coming, what's trafficking in and out their house? Most parents working hours don't come home till after their kids are home. Some kids actually get 30 minutes to an hour time at the house by themselves between their parents coming home and a bus dropping them off.
Hmm.
How many parents really know what kids are trafficking between school and home to their house? Don't get me wrong. My mom used to check me all the time. I had snuck an old Game Boy, if anybody remember those. I brought a Game Boy home that somebody else had at school, and I tried to sneak it into the house. But my mom checks my stuff anyway. Make sure I come back home what I left with, and make sure
That's
I ain't
right.
bring nothing home I didn't leave with.
That's right.
And most parents now not doing that. Most parents now got literal 9-to-5 jobs that don't get home till about 6.
Mm.
The high schools, as far as Georgia, I think get out about 3:30, 4 o'clock ish.
Uh huh.
Kids be in the house. Watching TV, they got access to internet that they work better than their parents. Parents put up blocks, we can figure out the code.
So you can figure out the code,
huh? I mean, you
know,
how serious can you really be about, you know, parents knowing what kids are trafficking in and out of the house?
Oh, you can be, you can be quite very serious about that. That's too easy. That is way too easy. You know, I remember back in the day when, you know, we get in trouble, and instead of, you know, we getting a beating, I'm sorry, a spanking, as they say today, or punish, that's easy to handle. You know, nothing went on because in our house until either mom and daddy got home, because everything was locked up in their room. So, that's too easy. You know, and that's the other thing. We always saying, well, how can we do? Oh, if we want to do it, we can find a way. Once we stop finding excuses, and I'm not saying you per se, but I'm just saying in general. You know, because we as a culture, we're too busy making excuses about what we can't do, why we can't do it. Instead of working hard, trying to find a way to do it and making it happen. Like you say, yes, we apparently there is a lack of leaders, but I can't believe that. I refuse to believe. Now, there may be people who just don't want to do it, but I can't believe there is a lack of leaders in the black community, in black culture, because there's not. Now, sometimes we have issues with them. Don't get it wrong, because nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. But the same token, we need to get out of that. Well, how can we do this? Because we can do it. We can do it. Heck, some of us will sell our soul to make sure our child get to the NBA, get to the NFL, go to Hollywood, try and be a star. Heck, some of us sell their soul just to get them on American Idol. I mean, so if you're working that hard to do that, why can't you work that hard to get us, our communities back? You see what my point is? I know. We'll have to think about that one for a moment. We're going to have to think about that for a moment because, you know, sometimes you have to sit back and think like, okay, but that is serious, y'all. That is some serious stuff. So you say, so do you know the name of your neighbors?
Oh, yeah, I know my neighbors.
Oh, okay. All right.
I know my neighbor that lives next door to me across the street and a door down.
Okay. Well, see, that's a great thing. But, you know, you're part of the minority. I guarantee that. I guarantee that you are part of a minority because I can guarantee that half the people listening right now, they have no idea who their neighbors are. Hey, they go to work and work by somebody all day long and don't know them either. You know, we're not about, you know, and here's the other thing, black folk. You know, we're not too good to ask other people for help. You know that? Yeah, I mean, some of y'all may think y'all are, but sometimes you need to ask for help. And you'd be surprised at what you get in return. But, you know, y'all go in there with your nose all stuck up like you just running. And that's another reason why our community no longer exists. Because we think we too good to talk to anybody. I'm putting it out there. As Ms. Lewis say, let's be real. Some of you just think you're too damn snooty to do any dang old thing, to be talking to anybody. That's right. And for those out there talking about, you can't, don't say nothing to my child. See, you part of the problem too. Once again, we're in neighborhoods. We're not in communities. It's all about me. You know, community is all about we. I'm just putting it out there, y'all. I mean, hey, y'all get mad at me. That's okay. It's okay. But we need to talk about this thing. I mean, because this really bothers me, though. Only 10% of disposable income that comes into the neighborhood, that's all we spend in it, 10%? How you expect anybody to run a business like that? Then the ones, and here's the bad part, you know, then you got your little bad behind kids out there stealing out the store. Yeah, I'm talking about you. So that means that man got to raise his prices because you're causing his overhead to go out the roof. You know? I mean, really? Black folk, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? How are we going to fix this problem? I don't know. I have some ideas. Number one, let's get the families together. Now, you know what? I know some of y'all say, well, there's not enough men out there. There's not enough good men out there. How you know? If you quit choosing, setting up and choosing the same bad one every time, you may find one. And say, same thing for you men out there. But there's more women than men. I ain't going to tell no feel about it. You know, once again,
that's
it's true. Back to what, huh?
I said, that's true. The ratio in Atlanta to women and men from the ratio of women to men in Atlanta is 2-1, but you got to look at that. You got to look at that ratio in a more realistic light, a little more realistic light. If every man can have two women in the city of Atlanta, you got to cut that number of men a little more because you got men that are gay in the community too.
Mm-hmm.
So you really got to cut that number a little bit now. So it's almost, let's say, for every straight man in the city, it might be 3-1 or 4-1.
4-1. Wow.
Because there's a lot more of them out there than what they say.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's becoming a little more fashionable to be, not that I want to, let me say this before I say that. I don't want to offend anyone when I say it.
But you know what?
Like
now, you know what, before you say that, I'm going to let you know something. You know what, that's our problem, too. Sometimes we don't want to offend anybody. You know what, sometimes we need to offend somebody just to get their dang old attention. You know, and, you know, sometimes we just a little bit too politically correct. You know what I mean? Let's hurt some feelings. Let's make some people think about some things that they're doing that they don't need to be doing.
All right, well,
I'm sorry.
You put it like that, Ben.
Yeah.
If you want to be for real.
Be
you know,
for real.
It feels like to me it's more fashionable to be gay than it is to be straight in the world right now.
Hmm. Look out now. Look out now.
So when looking at it like that, I mean, you got this new artist, Frank Ocean, just came out and admitted that he is gay, and we found out the song he got playing on the radio is about another man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I, as a traditionalist in my religious outlook, I'm looking at that like, what? You got so many people who Nicki Minaj is supposed to be a bisexual rapper, and all these other rappers and singers and everything, entertainers saying it's okay, but they feel like it's cool if you want to be gay. Only they saying it only because they don't want to offend anybody. They don't want to lose their fans, people who help them get their bread and butter.
Hmm.
How many of them can really be real like Chris Brown and be like, I got a problem with that. I ain't with it.
That's right. Anyway, but you know what? That needs to happen. That really does. That needs to be part of the problem. That's what needs to happen. We like I say, we're too politically correct about things. And you're right. I'm not understanding this. You know, like last night I did a show, and, you know, I had to look up a word because I was curious about it. Swag. Okay? Now, I know what the teenagers and everybody say what swag mean now. But let me tell you, swag back in the day in the 60s, you know what that stood for? Secretly, we are gay. That's what it meant. No, but you won't. But yet, we walking around carrying the word like a proud banner, a proud flag. Why? Because we're failing to educate not only ourselves, but our kids. You know, that's not a good thing to do. You know, that's limiting our resources as well. Once again, this is my opinion, y'all, but that's what I'm thinking. I have nothing against y'all. I don't. If you're gay, that's fine. That's your business. But in the same token, hey, do something with it. I mean, since it's the end thing to do now, use it to our advantage. Use it to your advantage. Get something done. Now, that's all I'm saying. Well, you know. But go ahead, Mr. Lewis. I want to hear some more about this Atlanta place. I heard a lot of things about that place right there.
I think they said Atlanta's supposed to be the new gay capital or something now.
The new gay capital, huh?
It's supposed to be. We're supposed to have the largest population of gays here in Atlanta now. So, like I said, you might have to cut that 2-to-1 number a little more. It almost could be 3-to-4-to-1.
Wow.
Yeah, so don't get me wrong. If that's what you do, that's what you do. Do you.
Right.
Do what makes you happy. But don't go around trying to live in a double lifestyle and now. One, you giving a woman the wrong idea, you get married to her years later, you break up because now you're at a point where you want to be who you are, or you spreading diseases around. Not saying I think all gay people got AIDS. No, that's not what I'm saying, but it is that thought that goes out there.
And you're right. And once again, that's another issue that helps deteriorate the foundation of the family. It really does. See, I like talking to you. You know, and once again, y'all, something that's deteriorating us as a culture, black folk as a culture. That's right. Yeah, I know all of us probably got one in the family. It's okay. It's all right. You know, it's okay to admit that. Like we say, we ain't holding it against you. We just trying to make a point. You know, regardless of what's going on, we can do better. And you know what's so bad? It's not that we can't. We have to do better now. It's to the point to where if we don't, we're going to be a forgotten culture, period. I mean, let's be honest. Like you say, let's be honest, right?
Right.
Because we got folk moving in left and right. Culture's beginning to mix. In a while, you know, at one time we were the minority. You know, we're not even a minority anymore. You know what I mean? We're not even in a minority anymore. But yet you can't. Here we go, y'all. We can't even find. If you find a decent neighborhood, it's where? It's out in the suburbs, gated communities. You know, and then what's going on? ain't nobody coming back to the neighborhood. You know, they don't even come visit. If you want to see them, you got to go and visit them. The so-called elite. You know. But why? Why, y'all? Why? Why? Why is this? You know, I like this. You know, I got one of my callers say they like you. You keeping it real, and that's what I like, keeping it real. You know. So, but you know what though? Atlanta has a lot of black-owned businesses, though. It really does. I mean, but that's one good thing about it.
I will say the one thing I do like about being where I am is there's no way I can't have access to anything I want to do.
Ah.
I think it's a great thing to grow up here. If I want to rap, there's plenty of studios around, plenty of places I can go to pursue that goal. If I want to write, there's plenty of things around here I can write and get myself known.
All right.
But the biggest problem is, one of the problems are, most black people don't want to do anything that's outside entertainment. We want to be rappers, singers, actors, and these people don't even make the most money doing that. LeBron James, don't get me wrong, LeBron James is a high-paid athlete right now. But he don't have shares of his team. Kobe got
that's
shares.
Right.
Kobe don't. I don't even think Kobe got shares in L.A. But Dirk Nowitzki, a white player from a whole other country, got a share of his team in Dallas. Magic Johnson, yeah, he got a share in his team in L.A., but he got that. He had to buy into that afterwards, I believe.
Yeah, he did. He really did. But, you know, one thing I can say about Magic, though, he's making it work for him. But, you know, and I'm glad you mentioned that. And even though LeBron, you're talking about LeBron, Kobe, all them, you know, the average percentage of a kid actually making it big into one of the major leagues are so low. You know, and I can't see how you even trying to set your kid up for something like that, because you really – although you may think you're setting them up for success, you're setting them up for failure. Because you're too busy concentrating on that. You're not trying to make sure the kid get his education. You're not trying to set something separate. Because I know when he get old enough, he going to the league. He going to be in the NFL. And then he gets hurt. Then what? He's sitting out there on the side of the road like a box of rocks because he don't know nothing. Because you didn't take the time to teach him. You didn't let the community mold him to where he should be. No, you lived in a neighborhood where you had to do it.
One of my favorite things I like to see the NFL players do, get arrested. Most of the time they give these young boys money who've never seen millions of dollars, never seen $300,000 in one spot. I've never seen $300,000 in one spot. But I'm not going to lie, you give me $1 million, the first initial thought I'm going to have is to blow all my money. That's just the initial thought, because you're thinking of all the things you can do with it. But a lot of these kids get this money, buy their mama a house. Their mama are young themselves. Kid might be 21 in the league. Mama could be just turning 42. So
right.
Everybody young, though, nobody really have no sense of responsibility. Buy mama a house, and I mean, she happy, don't care what you doing, blowing your money on this, that, and the third. You mess around and get arrested because you didn't have the sense to know that with this money and this fame and this power come responsibility. Nobody tells them that.
Uh-huh.
I'm just Chad Johnson. I mean, Chad Johnson fell into the trap.
Of course he
I
did.
I feel real bad for him. He fell into the trap.
Wow.
There's plenty of athletes that fall into traps. Latrell Sprewell, another player that should have been bigger than what he was. Allen Iverson. Great players had ghetto mentalities, and they ain't got a penny to show for it now.
Nothing.
All because they wasn't ready to deal with the responsibility that comes with having this money, this power, and this fame.
I had a listener. He told me to check out this book, Powernomics. Right now, I've been reading, and you know what you just saying. I read that the other day. It's called Inappropriate Behavior Patterns. You know, and we got that bad. You know, like you say, as soon as we get a whole bunch of money, what we want to do? We ain't thinking about investing in it. You know, we ain't thinking about helping the neighborhood, the community out. We think about going, like you say, buying a house for mama, getting a car, getting us, you know, helping our homeboys out, our entourage or our crew or whatever you call them these days. And then next thing you know, your money gone. Your career is over with. Your money is gone. So now what you got to do? You got to come back home and work at McDonald's because they're the only people who are going to hire you now. You know, because you didn't learn how to communicate or speak when you were in the league, so you can get out and maybe be on a broadcast crew somewhere. You're right. You are absolutely right. But you know what? It's our fault. If we the adults, it's our fault. It really is. Because somebody should have took all those young men aside and say, look, this is what you need to do. No, this is how it needs to happen. But nobody's doing that anymore because everybody has their hand out. Everybody's got their hand out. Now, what y'all going to do about that, people? I don't know. But we need to stop all that. We need to start empowering ourselves, y'all. You get money, hey, do the right thing. Invest it. Make it work for you. You know, put some back in the community. I'm going to call it the community now. Y'all going to put some back in the community. You know, make it work. But you know what? Let me tell y'all something. I just thought about what I said. Now, listen, people. If you do that, do it from your heart, all right? If you're looking for recognition, keep your money in your damn pocket, okay? I'm just saying. Because you're not doing it for the right reason. And in that case, I don't want it. I don't. You know, I mean, we just keeping it real. Just keeping it real. I said, I don't have much chat in the chat room today, do I? But it's okay. It's all right. Some days we have to have shows like this, so we know what's going on. You know, I'm glad Miss Lewis talking back to me, because if not, I'd be talking to myself. You know, y'all better make me start singing old spiritual up in here. But you know what? Now, you know, like Sprewell. Wasn't it Sprewell who said he couldn't feed his family on, what, $4, $5 million? Right. You know what he said? You know, you got people feeding their family out here on, what, almost $1,500 a month, and he can't feed his family on $4 million. What the heck is he doing?
I don't know how many meals I can get for $4 million.
Huh. You know what that called? And y'all know what the other problem with our little communities and neighborhoods is? You're not living within your means, people. Live within your means. It sure will help a lot. But you're right. $4 million, wow. I mean, what kind of, think about that now. $4 million, what kind of means, what kind of living are you doing to where you can't feed your family? Now, something ain't right with that picture. And, you know, we don't want to pick on him, but he's a prime example. Allen Iverson. All that money. But yet you trying to find a team to play for so you can make some more money because you owe, and you owe back child support. Look, if y'all got children out there, take care of your dang old children. That child didn't ask to come here. Another problem with our neighborhoods. Nobody wants to take care of that dang old kid. Oh, you'll have them. You know, you have 8,000 of them running around, but you won't pay for none of them. Really? You silly rabbit. I know. Okay, I'm getting back where I was talking about. But, yes, that is true. You know, so what type of neighborhood do you live in, Ms. Lewis? You'll mind me asking.
I live in Douglasville. This is more of the suburban side, I guess.
Oh, okay.
We moved here my junior year of high school, but before that, I grew up in Atlanta,
uh-huh,
off Martin Luther King, right in that same area. I went to Mays High School, a black high school, before I moved out here my last 2 years.
Okay. Well, how often do you go back to the old neighborhood?
As often as I can. To be honest with you, there's nothing like living in the city of Atlanta or living in the city, period. It's just so much more to do.
Oh, uh-huh. Okay, so you go back because there's more to do.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like my element.
Okay.
My element is the city life. This suburban area is too slow for me.
It's too slow for you.
I'm going to tell you something interesting, though. It's crazy how people here think Atlanta is this long drive. Like, people will make it exaggerated and make it sound like the drive from Atlanta to New York is, I mean, from Douglasville to Atlanta is like driving from Georgia to New York. They make it sound like it's this long trip, and it's not. I can get up, get in the car, and hit Atlanta in 20 minutes. But they don't want to venture out that far. Most of them, I think, are scared because they hear stuff about the city. They see the news, think crime. Some people swear if you get on the bus and the train, you're going to get robbed or killed, and that's not true.
See, that's true.
I don't roll Marta plenty of times. I done fell asleep on the bus before, and I didn't get robbed.
But, see, I'm glad you brought that up. See, once again, that's one of those negative stereotypes of negative images that has begun to plague our neighborhoods. You know, and you know who perpetuated all those things? We have. We've done it. Yeah, don't go down. You know, I'm from Florida, so, you know, down in Miami, they got a place called Liberty City. So, you know, it's got that reputation, and that's the first thing you say. Don't go down there in Liberty City, man, because, you know, you ain't going to come out of there unless you know somebody. You know, now what happens is everything gets spread, and now you got this rumor going about this certain part of town that's not true. But nobody wants to go there and find out. And then next thing you know, it spreads from just that one block or area to the whole neighborhood. Now, once again, we started something ourselves. Nobody started that. We did that to ourselves. You know, and then what happens? People don't want to move in. When people move out, nobody moves in. Once again, causing the deterioration of our neighborhoods, our communities. Now, the community was a community is beginning to break down because everybody's moving out and nobody's moving in. So now the people moving in is becoming more of a neighborhood. Because the village that was there before is gone now. And that's just my opinion. But that you know, that's basically similar to what you were saying, I would think. You know, because we do it to ourselves. Yeah. You know, we set up these old great urban legends, thinking we making ourselves sound good, and we just killing ourselves, killing our neighborhood, you know. You know, like this crack epidemic. You know, yeah, we know who brought crack in, but that don't mean we had to start killing each other over it, did it? Do you see them trying to stop? Do you see them trying to stop us from killing each other? Heck no. Why not? Because we making it easy for them. We making it easy. We shooting each other, killing each other over a block that belonged to the city. It don't belong to you. It belonged to the freaking city. But you going out there and shoot your brother over some bull crap. And then what you end up in life in prison. So that's not one male off the street. That's what, maybe three or four, counting the kids they may have had. But we'll never know because they incarcerated another one dead. Once again, a deterioration of our neighborhoods, our communities. Let's learn about our culture and our society. I'm sorry. Did I interrupt? Go ahead. I'm sorry. Sometimes I get on a roll like that, but go ahead.
Something interesting that I realized when my mom was looking for a house, we wanted to move back to the neighborhood that my mom grew up in, around the corner from where my great grandmother stayed. And the area was real nice. I'm not going to lie. My great grandmother, the where she stays is almost like a suburb near the city, in a sense. The nicest side of town. Only because the people who lived in that area at that particular time period were people who had good jobs, doctors, lawyers, teachers, when teachers were getting paid a real salary at one point. And other people, college educated or well-to-do jobs, were living in that particular area and own their homes. When black people own homes, now, you know, most of the grandmothers, great-grandmothers are dying out, and their kids getting houses. Kids just wanting the money or seeing the money that they can have are selling them or holding on to it, can't do nothing with it. because they don't, I guess it's, in my opinion, when my grandmother, my great-grandmother, I said, my great-grandmother passed away, which she is still alive today, thank God, and the day she passes away, her house, there's no way in the world we going to let that house go. Because we got a sense of pride and memory in that particular home.
Mm.
You know, most black people don't have a sense of pride or history in themselves. They just see the money. I can't let that house go only because I remember my childhood in that house. But you don't catch many people, so many black people who will keep a home like that. First thing they thinking, I could sell this house and get X amount of dollars, and I could do this and that. I could buy a Range Rover. Or I can do this, I can do that, but you're not thinking about the property value of the value of owning a property is more than just owning a car.
Oops, there it is again. And you know what? You hit it on the head. Go ahead.
To be honest with you, if I got $1 million, just because I know it will make money, my first initial thought is to honestly put a liquor store in the ghetto. Because I know it will make money. I know black people will buy into it. I know it with no problem.
You know what? You are so telling the truth.
But that,
so telling.
But in the same sense, that made me, when I really thought about it, it upset me in a sense. Because I was like, y'all have no problem with all these liquor stores on every corner, check cashing places. It's a Foot Locker everywhere in the hood. I can get a new pair of Jordans from anywhere in the hood I want to.
Wow. A new pair of Jordans.
But out here in Douglasville,
mm-hmm.
I in Douglasville, they petitioned to not get a Foot Locker out here, to not get a real Foot Locker. For the longest time, they petitioned against it, only because they didn't want a particular brand of people to come into their mall looking for these particular shoes.
Mm.
But that's saying
wow.
a lot to me. Because the white people say, we don't want a Foot Locker because they're going to bring in these black people. Black people should say, well, we don't want these liquor stores because it's deteriorating our community. But we don't have a sense of pride like that.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Once again, because of that lack of pride, the deterioration of our community. You see how to protect that community, right? No, we not even having that, y'all. We not even having that. No. Y'all going to have to go and put that somewhere else because it's coming up in here. But what we do, we'll fight the city council to make sure we get a liquor store put up in there in our neighborhood. You know, a liquor store, you know. And here's the thing. I want to go back for a moment. When you said property, you know, that's the easiest thing to own here. You know, once you start getting property, then you start acquiring stuff like power. You know, you own stuff then. And like you say, you're right. You know, generations now, kids, you know, they have no pride. You know, like you said, what they do, get them, you know, something happened, they get inherit. First they want to do, they want to sell everything. Sell everything. I just want the money. I don't care about the rest of this stuff. Why? You know, that something that's been in your house and in your family for decades. And just like that, you're willing to get rid of it. Where's the pride? Once again, you don't have any pride in your stuff. You don't have any pride in the community. No pride in the community, it becomes a neighborhood. A neighborhood, oh, well, so be it. Let it go. You see how all that kind of goes hand in hand? And I don't blame you. I would open me a couple of dang on liquor stores. Because you're right. That's one thing we're going to do. We're going to get our drink on. We're going to do that. Do we do nothing else? Get our drink on. Y'all know what? This is, boy, I tell you, I like this Miss Lewis. She keeping it real. And I sure thank her. You know, y'all listening to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Eric Jackson. And we're having a conversation today about, you know, our neighborhood's community needing a makeover. And we're really talking about some good stuff. So if y'all want to join in the conversation, give us a call at 347-838-8622. Email me at ericletstalk@gmail.com or hit me up in the chat room. You know, I'm always willing to talk to you in the chat room. Okay? Just go to your local media provider, social media provider, log in, and join the conversation. There we go. Okay, Miss Lewis, so what else on your mind? Miss Lewis is doing a good job, and she is keeping it real. That's what I'm talking about. You, even the people in the chat room like what you're saying. And you say you're only 24? Wow.
I'm 24.
Wow. So what are you, may I ask, what's your occupation now? What do you do now?
Currently I'm unemployed, getting ready to go back to school.
Okay. All right. So you were in school before?
I was in school when I was 20.
Uh-huh.
But I decided to drop out because I got a job that I thought was paying me a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized what a lot of money really was. But you got to live, you got to learn, you got to grow a little bit.
Uh-huh. And so what was a lot of money? What did you find out a lot of money was?
I thought making, how much was I making? I thought making about a $500-something check every 2 weeks was good until I realized that had I finished school, I could have been making a couple thousand a week.
Hmm.
And
wow.
That hit me, big difference of the money I could be making versus what I was making.
Uh-huh. I see. And let's see, you know what? No, I like you because it sounds like you have a very good head on your shoulder. You know what you're doing. You really do. You know. Now, you know what? Now, you ought to take some of that knowledge that you have and become that leader and go back in the hood and get some of them knuckleheads on the right path, too. You know, they may laugh
at
you.
I do. I'm on Twitter all the time protesting this or that. Most of my friends think I just be thinking I'm just complaining about stuff, but I'm trying to make a stand against this or that.
Right. You know, and you know what, sometimes, you know, instead of just telling them, just drag them along with you. Say, come on, we going to the mall and end up somewhere else. You know, sometimes we have to do to trick them, to get their heads right. You know how your mom used to trick you sometime when you was a kid? telling you going to get this and you end up getting something else like medicine that you didn't really want. You know,
I know that now.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes, you know, you have to be smarter than your enemy, I guess you want to say. And right now we letting our enemy just control us any way we want to. And it's not like they doing such a great job because we doing it to ourselves. We really are. We helping them destroy our neighborhoods as communities. We really are. But yet,
I'm going to tell you the one thing. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I can hold mine.
The one thing I know that's been really bothering me a lot lately is I love music. I'm a big music head. I love everything from the Beatles to Otis Redding to R. Kelly and stuff now. You know, I love everything.
Mm-hmm.
But my biggest problem is that I'm hearing a lot of songs using the B word so freely with women. And I got a big problem with that. I don't know if any other woman is having an issue with the B word being used so freely and women themselves using it and calling themselves that and being okay with it.
You know,
that's my biggest problem right now.
Now, see, you hit it right on the head then, because I was about to say, how can you know, okay, y'all, let me straighten up here. How in the world can you complain about somebody calling you a certain thing when you run around calling yourself the same thing? Huh?
I don't know how to do it.
I know. You know, but you complain about somebody else calling you that, but you in a song and you just singing this song and dancing and popping your booty like it's nothing. There's nothing to it. You know, but you want to get upset when somebody else say it. Why? You know, is that what they call a double standard?
I guess it is a new double standard.
Let's see. We got a Ms. Turner in the chat room saying, I think that if parents spend as much time with their children as they do in the hair salon and in malls spending money, some of this would not be happening. And teach their children how to respect others and mainly their elders. Well, that's true.
I agree with that a lot.
Yeah. Once again, you know... it goes back to that that village, you know. And I understand what you're saying about the parents working the 9 or whatever, but see, back in the day, the parents didn't have to worry about that because you had the neighbors across the street looking out. You know, I know one time when I was a kid, I called myself, you know, my parents had to go to church, so I called myself sneaking out by 8, 9 o'clock. You know, I'm going to visit a friend around, you know, I'm going to get on my bicycle and ride around the house. So I'm thinking I'm slick. You know, I done snuck out the house and everything, you know, and then came back and beat the parents home, and I'm good, right? Until the next day. And I was good till the next day. Gonna find out my neighbor has seen everything I done. Reported the time I left, reported the time I got back. And that taught me, boy, that village is something else. That village would take care of you and teach you some things. But like I say now, we don't even have a lookout anymore. You know, it's so bad that the neighborhood is so bad now. You got neighbors sit out there and wave at you as you leave. And as soon as you go around the corner, they break your house. You know, then go and get whatever they want, come back out. And when you pull back up, they sitting there waving at you like nothing has happened. You ask them, somebody broke up. You see anybody broke up? No, I ain't seen nothing. Why not? Because they broke in your house. You know, there's no respect for not only the person, your property, nothing. Nothing. And that's not good. You know, but yet, you know, we don't really care about that. It is what it is, right? And that's what the saying goes, it is what it is. Well, it doesn't have to be it is what it is. It can be better. It should be better. But when are we going to make it better? And once again, here we go. I like it that you are out there and you protesting things. And, you know, don't stop doing that, really. Don't stop doing that because that's a great thing. You know, even though you are a leader, believe it or not. And leaders will do what? Lead by example. They set the standard. So keep setting that standard because things gonna go right for you. I guarantee that. But if we had more like you out there now, in your age group, oh man, it'd be such a better place. You know what I mean? It'd be so much better, without a doubt. You know, you got 50-year-old jokers running around here with braids and pants sagging down to their knees with, oh Lord, don't get me started. But anyway,
I got a specific comment on braids.
Okay, go ahead.
Any grown man, I'm gonna say 18 and up. I'm gonna say that most guys want to grow their hair when they're young.
Uh huh.
If you are over the age, no, 18. If you're over the age of 18 and you got braids, you should just jump off a bridge. If R. Kelly, Ludacris, Allen Iverson, and all these other people can cut their hair, so can they.
Mm.
I saw a dude at the mall. He was going bald. He had a horseshoe in his, up at the top of his head. And he wearing braids. I'm like, man, just give it up.
You know what? I thought you were going to say he had a ponytail. I was going to fall out.
Nah, he had braids.
It wasn't many braids. What, did he have micros or something?
I don't know, but the four braids he had up there, I'm like, man, come on, man.
Oh Lord. You know, my regular listeners will tell you, I have them braids, do rags, and baby life wife beaters or whatever they call them. Oh no. I'm like you. See, you worse than I am because I said at least what 20, 25, the most.
No, if you over 18, you shouldn't be wearing them.
Well, see,
and really, who's gonna take somebody serious with some braids trying to get a job? You know what? I don't even mind dreads as long as they're well managed and kept and all that good stuff. But if you got braids and you a grown man, you should really give it up.
Okay. Well, okay. I like this. I have somebody from the other group on the phone talking noise with me. Okay, let me tell you this. What about the tattoos? How you feel about the tattoos?
Well, considering I got one, but I got one when I was 18.
No, when I say
the clearance of my independence.
Uh-huh.
I got one. I don't have a big vulgar tattoo. You can't even see it if I got a T-shirt on.
My point is
I got it on my arm. It's above the T-shirt line. I can still go and get a job with it. But if you got
right.
a bunch of tattoos, I've seen women with tattoos across their chest. Where they do, a phrase we use now is where they do that at? Like, when did it become fashionable to have a whole tattoo across your chest?
Mm.
It used to be a time women used to get one on their chest so you could still be covered and all that, but it's all the way across, like, you think you're Tupac or something. That's what I don't understand. Tattoos on the side of your face are fashionable now.
Okay. For who?
I never understood that.
Me either. You know, and then you get upset because why? You go somewhere and try to get a job and they won't hire you. Why do you think they're going to hire you with all that mess and you got to stand in front of somebody? Get all that on you. But you know, it's another one of those things, those little idiosyncrasies that we have as a culture that we believe is the thing to do. Because we have no role models. Ooh. So who was your role model growing up? Who set you on the right track?
Probably, I read a lot, yeah, but I was big on music. I spent most of my time listening to music. And I guess the mindset I got, can it be emulated and dictated from the music I listen to? I like Lauryn Hill, MC Light, Queen Latifah. As a matter of fact, I just said last night on Twitter, I grew up at a time remembering when Queen Latifah made UNITY.
Yeah.
And had that real famous line at the end, who you calling the bee? that's the kind of stuff I listen to.
Mm.
That was a big influence on me. So I try to emulate what I hear. And I always listen to plus positive things. I got Farrakhan on my iTunes. I got Malcolm X speeches I listen to. And this is not even just now, when I was younger. So I care for that. That was my role model. I was big on history.
Wow. And you know what? History is a great thing to have on your side, isn't it? And you're talking about education now. But see, and I'm saying, you're not dependent on anybody else to educate. You're educating yourself. Once again. So you know what's going on around you. You know what it takes to keep the community together. See? You really do.
I might have grown up in a single-parent household, but like you were saying, it's about respecting your elderly. I still got a great-grandmother that's alive.
Oh, okay. And, of course, she don't take no mess out of you from that, does she?
But she don't have to worry about that. I'm not going to give her no guff.
That I'm saying. Once again, but that foundation is there, right?
Oh yeah.
See, that's old school right there. That was part of the village back in the day. You know, that was part of the community. So you just weren't going. Would you say you just weren't going go in there and tell her anything because she know better and she didn't mind correcting you. But we got going on today in our little neighborhoods. Nobody wants to correct anybody. We turn our head. We run away. You know, I think we got somebody calling in. I got him now. Hold on. Good evening. Good afternoon. You're on Let's Talk. What's on your mind?
So this is another fun Tuesday, huh?
Oh, yeah, Joe. It's another fun Tuesday.
Yeah, I can tell. I come over here for some fun, and you're talking about very serious stuff here. Okay.
Well... because it's a serious issue. It really is.
Well, yeah.
You know, you know, somebody needs to talk about it. You know.
Well, that's what a lot of shows and blog talk radio are all about. Yeah. But the question has never been asked, never been answered, rather. How do we turn it around is what you have in your description page. But
right.
You know, I've been coming here to blog talk for a couple of years. And there's been a lot of shows like this, but nobody's ever had a real solution. So, I'm curious. has anybody come up with a solution yet?
Well, nothing that's that's outstanding. Besides, it takes a village, and you know that's the only way you can turn it around. It takes a village, and not just the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a difference in the neighborhood. I got that from Mr. Solution.
Oh, Rich says what?
Huh?
What
yeah,
did Rich
well,
say?
No. See, he told me to go and get this book, Paranomics, and I read it. You know, and in it, Mr. Anderson says that, as far as a neighborhood and community, there's a difference in it. As far as a neighborhood, most people in the neighborhood is about me.
Uh-huh.
Whereas in the community, it's all about we. So, in other words,
okay,
the community is the village.
Uh-huh.
And the neighborhood is just everybody just hanging out.
All right. Well, I never heard that before, but okay.
Oh, okay.
I'm familiar with the book, though, because Rich had mentioned it either on your show or on another show. And I went to the website. And it's about, self-empowerment in terms of getting ahead financially, starting
mm-hmm.
a business. So I thought it was pretty cool stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. That's why I had to go and check it out, because
mm-hmm.
he always mentioned it.
Did you download it, or did you go to
I went to Barnes & Noble.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I couldn't find it to download it, so that would have been a lot easier.
Yeah, I couldn't do it. I couldn't find it either. That's why I was asking if you could find it. Then I like to go there, and I like books on finance, on real estate, on business.
Mm-hmm.
What's that girl in your picture doing?
I don't know. What is she doing?
I don't know.
I'm not looking at the picture, Joe.
Well, it's on your description page.
Okay.
You put it there.
I will.
Figured you might have known.
Well, I did put it there, but that was probably a couple of days ago.
Oh, all right. Okay.
But, Joe, let me tell you something.
Uh-huh.
I got a young lady on the line. She's 24,
uh-huh.
Miss Lewis. And, man, she has her head on straight. You hear me?
Uh-huh.
I mean, she's got it together, man. And we were just having a conversation about the community.
Okay.
And what it takes.
So I'm curious to find out. What is it taking in the black community?
Yeah. What it takes.
Yeah, what it takes.
Well, number one, like we said before, it takes the village. It's not one particular thing. It takes a village. And we have to come together. We got to stop. We have to start owning. We having the resources, making our own resources. Like the Koreans and
oh yeah, yeah.
Those guys, they have their own resources, and they don't have to depend on anybody. Like I put out there earlier, and you weren't on the air, but I'll tell you again.
Mm-hmm.
Now check this out. Out of $850 billion that's moving through the black consumers' hands each year,
mm-hmm.
only 10% is going back into the neighborhood, Joe.
So where's the rest of it going?
To non-black owned businesses.
Wait a minute, I don't understand that. Everybody's in the community.
But once again, Joe,
mm-hmm.
check out the key word is community.
Mm-hmm.
So, only 10% is going back into the neighborhood, because it's no longer a community, because nobody's staying there. Nobody's putting nothing back into the neighborhood.
Well, you can't blame them if they leave poverty. Why do they want to come back?
Okay, why they want to come back?
Yeah.
But if you stay, why not help it come the whole thing come out of poverty? You got resources. Tell other people in the neighborhood how to get resources.
There's plenty of, look, you got the book Powernomics. I've been on black shows, and a lot of them, some of them are blaming Whitey, and some of them saying the same thing like you. But the whole thing is that there are resources out there for people to take a look at.
Right.
Plenty of resources. If I came from some poverty-ridden neighborhood, I wouldn't want to fucking go back.
Not even to help, Joe. Not even help a little bit.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Then it'll cost me what? $100,000 a year for security. No. There's the internet. people can help. You've got what? You've got Magic Johnson helping out. You've got the guy who wrote the Powernomics book. You've got people on Blog Talk Radio who have actually started businesses. They're black people, and they've started businesses, and people can tune into that. There's plenty of resources out there. People just don't want to look them up.
Well, once again, Joe, I mean, I agree with you. Once again, that comes with the education part. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to continue to educate ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Well, that comes down to the individual families. And Rich's theory is that because it's mainly single family moms who are running most of the families in the black, what do you want to call it, community? What do you want to call it?
Well, right now we go in neighborhoods.
Okay, in the black neighborhood? Well, in the black neighborhoods, that's most of the onus is going to be on the splitting up of the family. So you have to, you know, using that as a premise, you're going to have to stop splitting up the family. It's good to have a nuclear family where there's a father and a mother raising kids together.
But see, here's my point on that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I understand what Rich be saying, mm-hmm. but here's my point. You know, back in the day, it didn't matter whether you had, I mean, it helped to have two parents, but it didn't matter mm-hmm. because you had the neighborhood helping. See what I'm saying? You had that extended family out there helping you get through. And that's the problem now. Today's society, you don't have that extended family because nobody wants to get involved. You know, and with that, that's causing the breakdown of the family, which is the foundation. If you don't, you know, we've talked about the foundation a whole lot. If mm-hmm. you don't have that foundation, then nothing is going to survive. And that's the problem with our neighborhoods now, because the foundation is so broken and cracked. You know, we have to do something, because after a while, we're not going to even exist anymore. Of course, that's my theory.
Mm-hmm.
That's my opinion, y'all. That's my disclaimer. That's my opinion, okay?
Yeah, look, you take a look at the Chinese communities. You take a look at the Jewish communities. They emphasize family, and they emphasize making sure that the culture is extended from father to son to daughter to grandfather to grandson. So
right.
Black people can do the same thing.
Well, see, Joe, we've discussed that too,
mm-hmm.
and there's another issue with that. Today's kids or whatever, they have no respect for what was left. You know what I mean? They have
That's the parents' fault, then.
Well, not necessarily. If the parents have set all this up, Joe, and left it for them in perfect condition, then the child comes in and decides, I want none of this. You know, and then, I mean, you got all that history and all that work that's been done, and you just take it and throw it out.
Well, that's still the parents' fault. If you have a kid from the first second a kid is born, right?
Right.
To the first 5 years before they go to school, before they have any other influence, if you can't mold your child, then you're not a good father or a good mother. You should never have had a kid.
But, Joe, here's my point, Joe. Who said that child wasn't molded, though?
Well, that's the parents' fault. I mean,
that's
kids
the parents'
don't mold
fault.
Themselves.
kids
okay, develop for...
Huh?
Okay, good. Well, hold up. Miss Lewis got a question.
Okay.
So you're telling me, let's just say I got two parents. My parents have molded and shaped me and everything. And one day I just decide to blow off the building. It's not really my fault. It's my parents' fault.
Yeah, your parents had a lot to do with whether or not you're going to pay attention to other people telling you to blow up that building. If they instilled within you good morality, good integrity, good honesty, you can resist that kind of temptation. But if they didn't, and you're running around with a crowd, you can't resist the temptation of that particular crowd. That's your fault and their fault.
But see, that's what I'd rather hear, that it's accountability on both sides. Because at first I thought you were saying all the accountability is on the parents.
Well, the majority of it is on the parents, because now you're responsible for what you do for your child. But your parents, they had you for 5 years before you had any influence whatsoever from kindergarten to first grade. And, you know, you're not going to get much influence from the first graders or second graders. So it's up to them to mold you, to train you, to teach within you good values. If they can't do that, then you're going to be by default left on your own. And if your predisposition is towards having a lot of fun but not caring about what other people do and not giving a rat's ass about the consequences, then you're going to grow up to be a wild child. But if you're grown, if you're within an environment where they give you lots of love, give you lots of discipline, and teach you morality, then the kid most likely is going to grow up, I would say subjectively, my opinion is about 90% of the time, to grow up to be responsible, healthy, happy adults.
Joe.
Okay.
Yeah, Eric, come
okay,
here.
So.
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute.
Okay.
Let her finish.
Okay.
Go ahead, Ms. Lewis.
Okay, so you're telling me just if I was treated with love and given my parents, both parents, and I lived in lollipops and sugar, I'm just supposed to come out right.
I don't know about the lollipops and sugar, but if you were taught how to respect your siblings, how to respect your parents, if you were taught if they gave you love simply because you were born without having to smack you around just because you did something wrong every once in a while, and if they did smack you around, I have nothing against corporal punishment, but if they smacked you around just because they felt like it, that's going to have an effect on you too. But if they can give you love, let you know that you're important to them, make you feel secure that when something goes wrong, you can go back to your parents without feeling ashamed. And if they discipline you and you know that you're wrong when they do discipline you, you're going to grow up to be a healthy, well, relatively happy adult, and you're not going to be blowing up bridges.
Okay. Now, I can agree with you on that one.
Now, see, you said relative. So you said relative, so that means it's not 100%.
Well, it's not going to be
100%. Probably at 1% I might just be 1% that just, I want to blow up a business today. I'm mad at the world.
Well, but you're one,
I had a great reason. Well, then I couldn't be that 1%.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you're that 1%, still better than the remainder of the kids. I mean, look, Eric's show is about black community not exactly doing well. If you look, people I know, they make sure their kids get taught regardless of what's out there. They instill within them values, not necessarily ambition, but certain values. You got to get the education. You got to be a man or a woman on your own right. Don't follow the crowd just because the crowd is there. And that helps. Now, I don't know very many parents who are good parents. But those who are, they're going to treat their kids with love and understanding and make sure that kid realizes that kid is important to mommy and daddy. Now, when that kid steps out of line, because all of us being human, we all like to do our own thing when we're kids. We don't want to, we don't want to listen to anybody. But you're going to have to. That's what parents are for. But if they make you realize that when you're getting punished it's because you did something wrong, you can live with that. But if you're getting punished just because the mother and the father are a pair of assholes, first off, that's not going to make it. You don't turn children like that into productive citizens. You turn children like that into people who want to hurt other people. So anything I've said so far, that doesn't make sense to anybody here?
Yeah, it makes sense. It makes sense.
All right. What the hell love got to do with it, Joe?
What are you doing? Doing a touch Ike and Tina Turner on me? Love has a lot to do with it. Because in my building, in fact, I've got these stupid mothers who don't know how to be mothers. They give their kids a whole bunch of toys, and one parent very rarely yells at them until their kids really get out of hand. But by that time, they've become little monsters. They actually curse the parents out. And what, are you crazy? Curse the parents out? Are you nuts?
No. I'm with you. That's a death sentence. That was a death sentence in my house.
Please, you know, my mother and father, if they looked at me, I'm going, uh-oh. You know, come on. But they, you know, they spoil the kids. Mm-hmm. But they don't know how to teach the kids discipline. If you don't teach your kids enough, if you don't have a balance, if you don't teach the kids discipline, they can grow up to be spoiled. Spoiled people are become megalomaniacs. Megalomaniacs are psychos.
Mm-hmm.
You have to know discipline. You have to know right from wrong. A lot of kids don't know that nowadays. They think that they're indestructible. They can do anything they want. But you got to give the kids love, too. You got to make, again, to reiterate, if you're going to give your kids discipline, give them love to let them know, you know what, Johnny or whatever the name, you know, whatever name you want to give the kid, Johnny, you are important because you're just alive.
Wow.
How many parents treat their kids like that? I see videos on YouTube about parents. There's one video where a mother's dragging her, how old is the kid? I don't know, maybe 8 or 9, dragging the kid through to a store where they sell cell phones. It might have been Verizon, might have been T-Mobile, who knows. Dragging the kid on a leash. Honey, why do you want to treat that kid like that for?
You know what? I'm glad you say that, because I feel the same way about leashes too, Joe. I'm not understanding that concept there. You know, ladies, I know y'all on the line, so maybe y'all can help us, because I'm not understanding that leash thing with your kids. I'm really not.
I don't know what to say about the leash thing. From my understanding, I had one as a kid because I had a drifting off problem. But I got beat enough to where I know I'm supposed to stay still in the store and stay right there with my mom and them. I got enough of those when I was a kid, but at a young age, to my understanding, I did have one of those little body harnesses things.
Certain things are okay as long as you
get the understanding a certain way with the child. Sometimes you gotta do a slightly extreme thing to get a child's attention, I think in some instances.
Okay. You know what this slight extreme thing is? Mm-hmm. Whip that butt. That's what it is. Right there. Let me not, back when I was growing up, like you say, my parents would tell me, you embarrass me, I'm going to embarrass you. It's just that simple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you got to put your child on a leash or whatever, that's not saying much for you as a parent. It's really not. Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry, y'all, but that's the way I feel about it. And if that's what kind of parenting is going on and it's in our neighborhood, then yes, there is an issue, a big issue. You know, because that means you have no self-control or no parenting skills yourself. Or, Joe, as our key word is, no communication skills whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
I mean.
Well, you know, I mean, other communities can do it. I don't see why the black community can't. So, you know, it's a question that's been around for a long time. You know, that's why I'm curious to find the answer.
Crabs in the barrel, Joe. Crabs in the barrel.
Yeah, well, I heard that too. But why?
I mean, like you say, it's been that way for years. And as you know, the young lady was saying earlier, it started back in slavery. It really did. It started back way back then.
With
separation of the light skin and the black skin.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
One is supposed to be better than the other one. So when the one starts climbing to the top, we got the, wait a minute. No, you ain't about to leave. No, come on back down here with us. You know, and then the ones that do make it out, they don't go back.
I can understand slavery. Look, if somebody's trying to run away, then everybody up behind is going to get whipped. So I can understand that.
But in that case, let's all run away together.
Well,
I mean,
that'd be kind of hard. Kind of hard. When you take a look at the history of slavery, I mean, black people they didn't know the language. They didn't know how do you run away when you don't know what the territory is. You can't read signs, and you got everybody who's hunting for you. So it's kind of hard. So,
To an extent, I disagree with you on that one. It was black people, we have invented mathematics. Even relative mathematics that's being used today, Egyptians had that. We had, what was it? What is it called when you read the stars? Astrology? We made it a scientific fact that we knew astronomy. That's why they had to keep us below deck on the boat so we wouldn't know where we were. But we could always read the stars and figure out where we were. Now, I have to agree with you. I have to disagree with you on that one. But I think as far as anybody wanting to learn, parents say this to their kids all the time. Well, if you don't like where you're at, leave. That's almost an animalistic tendency in people. So if you are unhappy where you are, to leave and go somewhere where you can be happy and prosperous. So how could you expect someone to stay, get beat, to be verbally beaten, physically beaten, hard physical labor, and you feeding me hog jowl? Don't get me wrong, people who like pig feet and all that, that's good, but how can you expect somebody to be like, I'm okay with this mediocrity? So I can understand why they don't want to run and want to leave.
Well, yeah.
But at least those who left, they came back for somebody else.
But see, let's go on and translate. Reverse that and put that in the neighborhood today, though. Let's go and put that in the neighborhood today. Like I said, they leave, and you say, once you figure it out, come back and get somebody. But most people now just leave and don't look back. Period. They're gone. They're out of there. If they get out, they're gone.
That's the purpose of being upwardly mobile. You don't go back to where you came from. You go to a better setting.
Well, why can't you go back to health?
Well, what's an individual supposed to do?
Do something. That's like what's it? Okay, for instance, for somebody who has money, like say a athlete.
Mm-hmm.
Superstar athlete. Why can't you go back to where you grew up and help the kids do a community center or something like that? In cases of another normal guy, mm-hmm. go back and be a big brother. That's one. Remember, Joe, I know you remember, back mm-hmm. in the day when they had the big brothers and big sisters? You don't even hear anything about that anymore. At times, mm-hmm. those were like considered like, good mentors. You don't even have that
anymore.
They
still got them around. They still got the big brothers. Yeah, they got the big brothers and big sisters, and they have mentorship programs. The thing is that, first off, most athletes are idiots, because by the time they finish, after 2 years of being in the NFL or in the NBA, I think 68% of them go broke.
Right.
So, that's not too smart.
So, that's true.
For them to come on back to the neighborhood, it'd be dumb. There'd be the dumb leading the dumber. So,
well, hopefully, by the time they get there, and hopefully, as you say, it mm-hmm. started as when there was they were a child, mm-hmm. and they got the right raising up or bringing forth or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
They have that instilled in them already to where they already know before they go broke. Neighborhood. Yeah,
if they have it, but. How many do? Look, if you're going to be broke 2 years after you're retired from the NBA or the NFL, I think 68%, I believe. I think it's within 5 years or 2 years. And then after that, a lot of them have, if either they're broke or they've gotten divorced, which is another thing, which helps them to become even broker. So
mm-hmm.
a lot of them aren't that well off. That's why a few of them, if not a lot of them, try to make comebacks in their chosen sports fields because they haven't made it as a civilian. you got a few million dollars and you can't keep that.
It's funny you said that because we was talking about Sprewell a little earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day he said he couldn't feed his family off $4 million or something like that. We both were like, how can you not feed your family off $4 million?
Yeah, and if there's what's his name? Rodman. He's dead broke.
Yeah, well. had to pay too much child support.
Who?
Rodman. Dennis Rodman. Mm-hmm. He had
to pay a lot. And on the other side, the flip side of that is that Shaq is doing well.
Well, yeah. Well,
so
see,
you have to understand something, though. It's a big difference, though, if you want to talk, if you want to say that the money that Dennis Rodman made versus the money that Shaq made. Shaq made more money than Jordan ever did.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's saying something, a lot of something. So
well, no.
Now,
I'm going to tell you what. See, what people fail to realize, Shaq's upbringing, his father was a sergeant major in the Army, okay? His stepfather. So Shaq had that discipline instilled in him at a very young age. You know, plus when he came in, he had a plan. You know, he had a plan. And, of course, you know, at every game, who did you see at this game with him? His mom or his dad with him. You know, so I'm sure at a young age, they were there still guiding him toward the right decision. So they just didn't cut him loose and say, okay, you in the NBA now. You make this money and go and do what you do. Because they helped guide him along till he became financial responsible enough or educated enough to where he can handle his own.
Yeah, I think he's going for his master's degree now.
Right.
Well,
you know.
He got his doctorate degree. He just got that this year.
Oh, yeah? Oh, no, he's doing his dissertation for PhD now, I think. That's all the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But the point is, you know, like you said, Joe, that was instilled in him, but as when he made it to the league, they just didn't drop him off and say, okay, you're on your own now. You know, they still guided him a little bit.
Well, even if they did, he's a grown man. I mean, these kids have financial advisors. They probably either listen to crooked financial advisors or they're not listening to their financial advisors, and they spend money like it's going out of style. It's sad when you have like a heavyweight champion like Mike Tyson who earned more money than any NBA player. He blew it all.
You know what? And here's the thing about that. Our young black athletes, they have to learn. Just because you got all that money don't mean you need to have everybody hanging around you. You don't have to take care of everybody.
Well, then if they don't, then what happens? Then you got people who say, well, you got to help us out, you know. You came from the hood there, Chief, so help us out, right?
Okay, no, Joe. That's a good try, though. Joe.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they want to help us out. They want to help out, right?
I have a question.
Okay.
How do you expect these athletes to do better if they were never taught better? But then that goes back to say, was the parents taught to do better? So it's almost like a cycle, like Mama B was saying, it's a cycle. How can I do better if I wasn't taught better? How can my mom have taught me better if she was never taught?
Well, that's why. That's probably the reason why black people are failing. Because it's not being carried down from parents to children to grandchildren. And look, let's face it. A lot of the black athletes coming out of college, they belong back in high school. Okay.
Great point.
All right. So when it comes to all of a sudden they're 18, 19, being awarded millions of dollars, they don't know what to do with it. But they should have had parents guide them at that time, but their parents probably didn't. So there you go. So the whole thing goes. So it has to come down to the family thing. I mean, somebody has to stop the continuation of the psychological destruction of the neighborhood.
The point I was about to make was, I'm just giving examples where it's not just the parents. It goes back to the neighborhood as a whole failed this particular child or group of children. So now, if the parents weren't doing or being an influence or being a leader, you know, the kids in school, that teacher or in coaches, their coaches help these kids slide on by because they know they got the talent. And it looks good that this kid comes out of this school.
Yeah,
so
and then the parents encourage it.
Even in college, where these coaches spending the most time with these kids that aren't living with their parents, that are living on campus, that are adjusting to being independent on their own now in college. Even these college coaches just doing enough to slide them on to get there.
Well, yeah, well, that's the fault of the university.
Where does anybody become a leader, take charge, or take the blame or the fall for I failed this child just as much as such and such did?
Yeah, well, I fault the universities and the high schools for allowing functional illiterates to become graduated when they can't spell, when they can't really talk. So, you know, just for the benefit of bringing in donations to the endowments. Yeah, I blame the high schools and the colleges for that, but I also blame the parents. The parents allowed it.
Okay, I agree with that one.
But if someone is telling you your child is doing well, how can parents know it's really a problem?
How do the parents know if there's a problem? By having a wise-ass kid who can't speak English and sees on their report card.
No, I'm saying, but the kids are getting passed, so the kids are making C's. Nothing looks wrong. They're of average standard by the school system. How can a parent really know that there's a problem? If I sit a pizza in front of your face and tell you it's a pizza, you know, you're not going to think that anything is wrong with it. I'm telling you what it is. And most people only go by what they are being told or what they see anyway. So
now, you know
you
what?
Pizza, how you going to interpret it any differently? Because I'm telling you what it is.
Wait a minute. You're telling me that parents, when they have their kids coming home, sometimes maybe without report cards or with report cards with C's and D's and barely a B, that because the kid graduates and the parents themselves know that their kid isn't proficient in schoolwork, that they don't know there's a problem? That's a bunch of dumb parents.
I agree with that one. I don't understand how you living in my house and you're supposed to be going to school and you come into my house and you can't read and write and I don't know it? No, I'm not going for that one. I mean, unless you're trying to say something else. Because right now, I can't buy that one either.
I'm not saying it's a justifiable point. I'm just making a point. If the school is just passing the child, there's no child left behind. If the school system is just passing the kid through, and the parent, of course, is not saying anything, or if the parent don't really realize it's a problem.
Well, you're talking about that's Bush's program, where he instituted no child left behind. Everybody who was a dummy could still graduate.
But there's still no excuse to that, because a parent can still say no, we're not having this. I mean,
let's be real honest. How many parents are really okay? How many parents? I'm saying how many good parents? Because the good parent ratio to regular parents is slim. But how many parents do you really think are gonna say, "Well, hold my child behind; they're not learning."
I did it with mine.
But I said not saying just good parents, not just you as a good parent. We talk about all parents. Good parents, the baby mama, the mama that ain't got time for their kids, the dad that's trying to work 3 jobs just to get their kid together and don't want their kid going to school because they got to make their money. I'm saying all parents.
How can they shouldn't have had children.
I mean, I agree with that.
I don't have
the time or the want to have to deal with having a kid right now. I don't want that responsibility. I don't.
Well, you know what? Go and get some help then. Go and get some help for him.
You know, I can understand one kid slipping through, but let's say, you know, taking your example of the kid, of the father working 3 jobs, and the mother has, you know, raising kids is a hard enough chore as it is. But if you've got the kid isn't really seeing the parents because the parents really working hard to try to make something come together for the household, that's bad enough as it is. But when you have one child, it's bad. But if you're going to have two or three, I'm not going to have sympathy for you.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you.
cracks. Those are cracks that are. What happened?
Oh, just 5 minutes, Joe. You know that, Bill.
I was just getting ready to fight. Anything?
Yeah. No. But, you know, Ms. Lewis, I understand what you're saying. And, yeah, let's admit, you know, everything is not going to be perfect. You know, it's not. But, you know, in the same thing, in the same breath, though, you know, you have that as a parent, that is part of your job. I can hate to say it that way, but that's part of your job to make sure your child is getting the education that they need. So if you're not, if you're not paying attention to that child, then you're part of the problem as well. So maybe we need to get you some help, too, because you're not doing what you're supposed to do.
What
you finna say, huh?
And that's what has to be turned around. Everybody individually. I don't think people have to look towards the village or the neighborhood or the community in order to get to advance the future for the kids. I just think they have to take personal responsibility and just say, my child is going to live up to these standards, and I'm going to make sure that he or she does.
And you know what, Joe? That's right. But like we're saying, that's part of the foundation. That's where it all starts at. You know, like we're saying there, if the foundation broke, then that's it. I mean, that is it. You know? All right, y'all. This is about it for the show. The train getting ready to roll into the station. I want to thank Joe. You know, he's a regular. I can depend on him. He always bring up some good points. Miss Lewis, thank you. Hey, keep doing what you're doing. I'm proud of you, girl. Handle your business. Everybody in the chat room. Everybody in the chat room, thank you for joining. I sure appreciate the support. Hey, y'all, come with me tomorrow. I got another hot one tomorrow for you. You know, y'all going to like this one. The show tomorrow is, why do black women find it so hard to date outside of the race? I know y'all going to love that one. But until then, see you tomorrow, 2 p.m. Central Time. Love you. I'm out of here.